So we talked about where what Karis does to the Nefesh. What Karis does to the Nefesh, Karis, the punishment of Karis, is Karis, it cuts off. So it cuts the Nefesh off from its source. And Mimela, since it's cut off from the source, so it loses its connection to Hashem. So it's gone. In the next world, there's nothing more to talk about. It's gone. So the idea, Rav Chaim says, out of chazdoi v'tuva, Yekadosh Baruch Hu did not, l'bal yidach mimenu nidach, that we shouldn't lose any nefashes, he made that you can never cut off the ruach, you can only cut off the nefesh, at least in normal cases. And therefore, since you can only cut off the nefesh, not the ruach, the keser of the nefesh, which is the highest level of nefesh, is essentially malchus. It's the lowest level of ruach. And therefore, it's like ruach and doesn't get cut off, and from there, it regenerates. However, how does it regenerate? It regenerates through doing tshuva with the ruach. How do you do tshuva with the ruach? Ruach is dibur, we said. So the way you do tshuva, that's why you need to do vidui. The vidui process is tshuva with the ruach, which rejuvenates the koach of ruach to reproduce from the keser of the ruach. It produces, rejuvenates the nefesh. We also said
karet can be repaired?
Yes, there's a tshuva process, yeah. That's what he's saying.
I thought karet was serious heavy-duty stuff.
But tshuva is also heavy-duty stuff. So the reason why Rabbi Itzel Petterberger says, the reason why we take tshuva for granted, the reason why we think, yeah, tshuva, look, I've forgiven people before. You know, people ask me for forgiveness. Of course, you know, you ask Hashem for forgiveness. If someone asks you for forgiveness, you say no, of course not. You say yeah, right? So what's the big chiddush of tshuva? So Rabbi Itzel Petterberger says, you know, the reason why we are such big believers in tshuva is because we have no idea what averas are. If you know what an avera does, then you would realize how much of a chiddush tshuva is. Tshuva, right? We think it's not like we're great ma'aminim, we know tshuva. It's not that we're such big ma'aminim and tshuva, we don't really know what we did wrong in the first place to assume, you know. So that's what Rav Chaim is telling us. You cut the nefesh off from its source. Tshuva is possible. So that's why he's building this whole chain to explain where tshuva is possible. And yeah, tshuva is possible. That's the chiddush of tshuva. Okay. So that's what he says. And he goes further. He has two notes here, okay? And his two notes are quoting a famous piece in the Rambam. There's a famous piece in the Rambam that the Rambam says that if a person is obligated to give his wife a get, so we are allowed to force him to give it. Now, even though the get has to be given willingly, it's not allowed to be forced. So what do? We hit him, we force him, the Bezdin forces him until he says, yeah, I want to. So what do you mean, I want to? So then you're being forced. So famously, the Rambam says, V'ayin Rambam soif perek beiz milchus gerishin b'din get me'uso, a forced get, ad shiyomar rotze ani, that you force him until he says he wants to, shall get kosher. It's considered a kosher get. Im adin noisin shekoifin, as long as that's the halacha that we're supposed to force it. Upirish sham hatam, the Rambam explains the reasoning. Though in mikri onus, he's not considered forced. Kivin shamitas ritzoinoi laso is kol hamitzvis. Elisha yitzoi hu shetakvoi. Because really deep down, even after all the averas a person does, he never affects the keser of the nefesh. You can't affect that. The keser of the nefesh is the ratzon. That's what we said last time. It's where it's the bridge between the world of action and the world of lev. What's the bridge between the world of action and the world of the heart? Is the ratzon, is the desire. That desire is always there. So even a person doesn't seem like he wants to. He doesn't seem like he wants to, but he wants to. And therefore, as long as we can, the forcing him is allowing him to realize what he really wants. And therefore, he's not just acquiescing to the to the physical harm that or whatever. He's actually coming to a realization of what his true ratzon is. Okay? And that's what's going on. It's his true ratzon. And that's because, says Reb Chaim, because that keser of the nefesh is always there. It's always fully intact. And that's connected to ratzon. He says there's two haggahs here. The other haggah is incredible. The other haggah, the other footnote, which in some volumes is printed first and some volumes is printed second, but there's two haggahs, two footnotes in this chapter. So the footnote goes like this. Hainu, sha'af in nafshos Yisrael, even if a nefesh of Yisrael, mishukoyim, are knee deep. Shakua means that it's knee deep. You're in deep, chas v'shalom, in the depths of avera. Im kozei yosar ritzona yisbarach shemai. Hashem made it. L'ha'alois nafsham al b'chinas ruach. The ruach can get a person out. Like it says, v'aniza is brisi amah Hashem, ruchi asher alecha. You know, we say every day in Volatzion. What do we say in Volatzion? V'ani, and I Hashem, zois brisi oisam. I have a bris with the Jewish people. This pasuk sounds familiar? What's the zois brisi? What's the bris? What's the bris? Ruchi asher alecha, v'dvaray asher samtim v'vicha lo yamushu. My ruach is never going to leave from you. So Chaim says that pasuk is referring to this. The ruach is always going to be there, connected to Hashem. Now we'll see that there are some cases that you could actually get, you know, be pogim in ruach as well. But for now, he's saying the ruach is there and it's intact.
You said ruach is related to speech?
Ruach is speech, correct. So we're going to see that ruach can be affected by bad speech, but that's what he says. Okay. That's now this idea. So I want to get down one further point. So he says that there is an oifin that a person could actually be pogam. Person could create a tumah on his ruach. There is such a thing, and that's if he is pogam in speech. And if a person does bad speech, he can actually now be starting slowly to deteriorate his ruach. All the way down, 9 levels of ruach, until the piece of ruach, which is the keser of the ruach, which is connected to neshama, he can cut all that off. So he says there is a way to do that. If a person's pogam is dibor, b'loshon hara, or sharei avonos, or other averes, hatluyim b'sharasha b'chinas ruach, that are connected to ruach, v'niskalkels b'chinas ruach, he can mess up his ruach. Okay? And he says that the Arizal says that the karis is usually the nefesh, not the ruach, but mitzach b'chin ha'al yonah, but the highest level of ruach, soid keser shaloi, it's keser kosher v'dobuk, b'chin ha'tachtoyna shal ha'neshama. That's connected to neshama. The same process could happen. He could rejuvenate the ruach through tshuva in the neshama. How do you do tshuva in the neshama? Hear her tshuva. In other words, the thoughts of tshuva will repair the damaged ruach, okay? However, then he says, and this is a point I wanted to talk about, then he says, but there's no such thing ever as damaging the neshama. There's no such thing ever as damaging the neshama, because the neshama is not really part of us. Remember, we said that the neshama in the glass blower, mashal, the neshama is still in the glass blower. It's the ruach, which is the bridge between the neshama and the kli, and then the kli is the nefesh. So you could damage the kli, and you could damage the nefesh, and you could even damage the ruach to a certain extent, but the point where the ruach is attached inside the mouth of the mouth blower, glass blower, and the glass blower, then the kli cannot damage that. So the person with his averus can never damage the neshama. Okay?
And so when someone is correct, gets correct, or...
It's the nefesh part of his neshama is going to be cut off. But his neshama itself is not cut off.
What is the nefesh part of the neshama? Explain that again, I forget.
That's the lowest part. The lowest part of the neshama in the chain link concept, right? It gets cut off from the rest of it. So you're pulling down the last 9 chains, right? But the 10th chain is the chain of the keser of the neshama. That's connected to the ruach, and that doesn't get cut off. But if a person does a lot of averus with dibor, he starts deteriorating his ruach as well. But the highest level is neshama, which is not really inside of the person, that's pure. That always remains pure. You know why? Because that's the Nishmas Yisrael. That comes from the Shurish and Neshama, which is all the Nishmas Yisrael, which is one big...
So someone's Neshama can never get messed up. It's always...
Correct. Correct.
How Russia, how this and that.
Correct. Now, Rabbi Elia Weintraub says one exception, okay? And this is interesting. But this, right now, what he's saying is that the neshama never gets affected. Neshama never gets affected. And he says, this is why. Why does the neshama get affected? Because the neshama is not a personal neshama. Our neshama is the neshama of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael's relationship with Hashem will always exist. And therefore, you could have someone that did a verse his whole life, and then you hear all these stories at the Holocaust. You have this guy that was what do they call it? The capos or whatever. And then all of a sudden the soldier says, you know, tell me that you're not Jewish. And the guy says, I am Jewish. He says, tell me you're not Jewish, I kill you, you know, and he says, I'm Jewish. So the famous story is like that. Where did that come from? He says, because the Yid, no matter how many averis he's doing, what's he doing? He's doing averis with his nefesh. He's doing averis maybe with his ruach. But his neshama comes from Nishmas Yisrael. You're going to ask him to say he's not a Yid? You're going to ask him to say that he's not part of Nishmas Yisrael? His neshama can't do that. His neshama doesn't allow for that. Because the neshama of the person knows that, no, this I'm just part of the entire package of Nishmas Yisrael. So therefore, his neshama knows that it can't give up its connection to the Jewish people. And this is actually the language of the Rambam. And that Rambam is an unbelievable Lashon. The Rambam says, it's a great Lashon, he says there. The entire Lashon of the Rambam is that since he wants to be a Yisrael, he will never... Since he wants to be a Yisrael, he'll never end up, giving that up. Because he wants to be a Yisrael. He wants to be part of the Jewish people. Okay? However, okay, there's one exception to that. And this is what, this is fascinating. This Rabbi Elia Weintraub writes, and he writes it b'shem Rabbi Nagoyin and others. There's one exception. Because these are all averis. We're talking about people whose averis are coming from their nefesh and their ruach. But if there are people that are doing their averis with the neshama itself, they're going and they're ripping out their neshama, that's possible to do that. What does that mean? That's people who create for themselves a alternate hashkafa, an alternate philosophy, because that's no longer in the world of nefesh. That's not an avera that's happening in the world of nefesh, of action. That avera is happening in their head. The head is the point of contact between the person and the neshama, and they are pulling away their neshama because they're saying, we don't believe. Not just we don't want to do, we don't act. We actually don't believe. So once, says Rabbi Elia Weintraub, once a person has alternate philosophy and an alternate hashkafa, then he has no guarantee that he can't be cut off. And he says that the Chassid Ya'ivitz wrote that throughout the, listen to this, this is not shy. He said throughout the generations, Chassid Ya'ivitz writes, throughout the generations, he said, Yidden were always able to pass the Nisayon of Mesiras Nefesh. Even the most unaffiliated Jew would pass the Nisayon of convert or get killed. Right? Cross or die or whatever. Whatever it was, even the most unaffiliated Yid was able to overcome that Nisayon because of this Neshama. The Neshama Yisrael was there. There's only one type of person that wasn't. He said that was the philosophers. That was the people that created their alternate hashkafa, an alternate philosophy. Those people did not overcome that Nisayon. Why? Because those people actually did sever their connection with their neshama. Because the point of contact of the neshama is in the brain, and they basically, you know, took that out. Everyone else doesn't aver. Yeah, I can't overcome my yitzhar. That's all in the level of nefesh, but they've never severed the connection with the ruach or the neshama. But the person that severs it with the neshama will not be able to survive that inside. That's just an unbelievable machshava. So as long as the person, you know, doesn't do it that way, they're always going to end up staying connected.
If a person damages the ruach, automatically that damages the nefesh also?
Probably, yeah, because it's cut off. It's red. Okay, so that's what he says. And, this is how he's describing the tshuva process. Okay, so we'll start paragraph 19 tomorrow. These are amazing concepts. All right.
back, Rabbi. Thank you.
Shkrach, shkrach.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So if someone is born to life of Avodah Zarah and he never learns Jewish, like,